So my name is Mark Simos. I'm a director in the Microsoft Enterprise Cybersecurity Group. I focus on kind of our strategy and pulling it all together. And you guys heard a lot of stuff at the keynotes and the various sessions. And our team's job is to really pull it together into consumable strategies that can help you guys execute and accomplish various different pieces. So we're going to talk about today is mostly the cloud security focus. Specifically, we'll talk a little bit about Office 365, Azure, talk about the high-level strategies, and then some details on how to actually start putting them in place. How are you guys doing today? Cool. So when we think about the role of IT security, it's very simple. We're protecting the business value of the organization, generally running on hosts and connected to networks. And we think about it from the classic sense, there's a couple of assumptions here. Corporate data apps and services is where the business value is stored. Running on hosts, which are managed by IT, and the networks were managed by IT. Pretty simple life. We built a castle around that world, put up a bunch of firewalls, life is good. Well, a couple things happened. One, real attackers came around instead of paper targets. And two, the data started leaving. Our users started getting a lot more choice. And so our business value expanded to not only the corporate data apps and services, but businesses are finding new opportunities. Have you guys heard of digital transformation? So they're looking at figuring out how to embrace all this great new technology to drive business value, and so they're trying to bring the value actively outside of the boundaries. We got cloud services, bring your own devices. We don't control all the hosts where the stuff lives, and the networks are also not under our control anymore. In fact, it's the open internet in many cases. And so these are the high-level challenges that we face. And quite frankly, the identity is your best bet at a perimeter of defining what's inside your corporation and what's under control versus not. So when we take a look at this and see what IT is doing, the way that we normally see organizations do this, I'm really interested in your perspectives, we start to see cloud productivity workloads is the first easiest thing. Office 365 and all these other pre-baked, off-the-shelf, ready-to-go software as a service, right? Easiest thing to do. Second thing is when we do new development, we want to do it on platform as a service. Let's go and not have to worry about all of the challenges of running an operating system, middleware, and managing it, and all that kind of stuff. Let's let somebody else do that and just worry about our code and keeping it managed and secure and up to date and meeting our business needs. Right? And then existing applications, this was an interesting one. Even though we know it's a lot better to go with a PaaS world, we have huge, huge backlogs of legacy applications that, I mean, how many folks here have an application that you do not have an installer for that you hope does not break? I'm seeing a lot of smiling and nodding, okay. So we're seeing a lot of acknowledgement of that, and hey, let's just move the app that we've got, take the VM that we've got, shift it onto the cloud so we can start getting to the point where we can shut down our data centers and not have to worry about it. So these are what we see in the typical IT world for the strategies that organizations are using. Does that kind of blend with what you guys are seeing with your experience as well? Seeing a lot of nodding heads, cool. So when we look at this through a security lens, we've got our software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, and of course the on-prem as a reference. There's a certain set of things that no matter which kind of cloud service you have, which kind of workload, no matter what the profile of the workload is, these are always the customer responsibilities. It's very much a shared responsibility. And so the data, the endpoints, and the accounts and the management thereof are always the organization's responsibility. You can pay someone to manage your IT for you, but ultimately the cloud provider generally doesn't do that. They let you manage your accounts, your data, and your endpoints. Now when you go to the cloud, immediately you get out of having to deal with the physical world on a per workload basis. And so as you transfer these workloads to the cloud, you don't have to worry about anything at the physical layer, the host, the network, storage, all that kind of stuff, that's managed for you. You still have to pay for it, but it is managed for you, you don't have to secure it either. So the middle part really is what varies by service. And we do like, from a security standpoint, software as a service best. Because if you pick a trustworthy cloud service provider, like Microsoft, then you are in a position where you want to dump as much as you can on them. Because once you trust them to do it for you, you don't want to have to worry about securing any more hosts, operating systems, or middleware than you have to. The more that you can dump on them, the better. And so that's where software as a service becomes, from a security point of view, a preference. Because you already trust them to run your stuff for you. So have them run as much of it as you can so you don't have to worry about more layers. Because the business value is there in the stuff that you retain. Platform as a service, you have to secure the code you have. Next preference after software as a service, if there isn't something on the shelf. Finally, IaaS. You still have to run an entire OS stack, you still have to secure it, you still have to patch it, you still have to scan it, you still have to put up firewalls and all that kind of stuff with IaaS, to a much lesser degree PaaS and not at all with SaaS. So the full strategy that we have, looking at this, here, there's actually a document that outlines the key principles that we have in each of these areas. And we generally say, if you're going to do this completely and fully, you want to follow these, and there's about 4 or 5 different things under there. That seem like a lot of work? You guys want the short version? All right. So one of the things that we did for this presentation, I only have got 20 minutes. I can stay a few minutes afterwards and stretch it a little bit if you guys are interested. Put together a short list of the things that are the most important things when you talk about going to the cloud when we think about this. First and foremost, how many people here worry about shadow IT? IT that they can't see, don't manage, don't have control over. Okay, how many people here think that someone in an organization could still be fired for something that they didn't sanction and didn't know about? Okay, seeing a lot of hands and head nods. So shadow IT is a very critical thing for security organizations to understand and get a handle on, because you can authorize some SaaS, but there's probably SaaS and other applications that are being used that you don't know about. So it's critical to understand that. So that's the top one. We'll talk a little bit about how we do that with our Cloud App Security product. The second one is critical SaaS tenants, things like Office 365, where organizations put a lot of their business value, knowingly so, out there on these SaaS services. You want to make sure that for those pieces that you do retain, that you're absolutely securing them correctly. And then secure administration of IaaS and PaaS tenants like Azure. You want to make sure that those, the administration thereof. And the reason that we're focusing on administration before we're focusing on users is return on investment. When an attacker looks at trying to attack something, they would rather have control of your whole tenant by hitting one person than they would by having control of one user set of data by hitting one person. So their ROI is much better. The return on investment for the attacker is much better to go after the admins. And we are seeing that reflected in the attacks that we see. So that's why we focus very heavily on the administration as soon as we start having knowledge of where our risk is. Make sense? So when we look at the SaaS risk piece, and this is pretty much the process we recommend customers use when they use our Cloud App Security. If you've got a different CASB, it's probably a very similar process. But you want to take this from shadow IT, where you do not know what's happening. Have a discovery operation. Figure out what SaaS apps are in use, what's out there, what kind of data is on them. You get better visibility as you start sanctioning these, taking over the tenants, the SaaS tenants that your business units or users have opted into. And then you investigate them, understand them. Is this an app that we legitimately want to have and manage? Or do we already have an official sanctioned license one that we want to start migrating them to and then shut down the unauthorized one? But investigating and understanding that is the next phase. And then once you have control over and you're managing it, and this is a sanctioned part of the process, you then want to go ahead and exert that control, put policy on it, put alerts on it so that you're aware of things like, hey, is my user taking sensitive documents and allowing anyone on the internet to read or write to it? You want to understand those things, and the more that you have control over those SaaS tenants, the more that you can manage those and manage that risk down. So that's the process that we follow there. Again, Microsoft Cloud App Security is a product that has those capabilities built in. This is the process that we recommend customers follow with it. Make sense? So next, let's talk about your Office 365 tenant and how do you protect that there. So when you look at an Office 365 tenant, you've got some administrators of various different workloads like Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. You've got transport rules, mailboxes. You've got all sorts of different things in there. The good news is It's a very fixed small set of things. It is not a full operating system with a full set of apps that an adversary or an attacker can hide their malware and their other pieces of presence in, whether it's an account, et cetera. So it's a much more limited, much more controlled environment that you can get much better visibility on and notice the deltas on. So that's what's very different from an on-premise application like Exchange, where you have the whole stack. But at the same time, in that thin layer, you do have to keep an eye on all of those things. And the things that can have an impact on your entire enterprise, or excuse me, on all of the data in the tenant, you want to make sure you're keeping an eye on those things and not just trusting that it's magically safe and the adversary hasn't played there. So the way that we recommend securing this is starting very simple, good old principle, separate account for users and admins. Don't be doing email and web browsing with the same account that has administrative control over the tenant. We have to extend that a little bit. We've also found that the adversaries are really good at stealing the credentials and as well as other attacks if they have control over the machine. So you actually, for the admins, should have a separate operating system, a separate machine. So that's a privileged admin workstation. We have public guidance on how to set those up and use those to secure your Office 365, your Active Directory, and your Azure pieces are all in there by default. Next thing, pretty obvious, multi-factor authentication. You want to make sure those admins have the multi-factor piece. It is not guaranteed. The adversaries can get control of your phone and your PC, but it's a lot higher bar for them to obtain control of both. And so we generally, like the MFA, we wouldn't bet our entire security on it solely, and so we don't, but it is a very, very powerful ingredient in the formula. Next piece is you want to, like I mentioned, have an understanding of that tenant, have a baseline for it. So take a snapshot of it, see where the configuration is, make sure it's where you want it, and then compare against that baseline over time. And we have some scripts that we're actually going to be sharing. Today's Wednesday, Thursday, so tomorrow, in a session, which I'll be referring to in just a little bit. I can't remember, it's too many numbers and letters. But the session we'll be speaking to, myself and a colleague, to help you walk you through that and show you how we actually do that. And the scripts are part of the presentation. You can take them and run them. And the last piece, of course, is monitoring. So you want to be keeping an eye on your security and compliance center in Office 365 and looking for alerts and anomalies and taking a look at the reports as well. So as we switch over to the Azure side, extremely similar. You want to make sure you have the separate admin account. You want to have the separate admin workstations and the multi-factor. That's pretty much the basics that you're going to want to have for administration of really anything. Now, the other thing that's available in Azure that is called Azure Privileged Identity Management, or Azure PIM. And this allows you to protect the privileged activities. So anything that's an administrative task that's of a high impact, you can force them to proof up with MFA, and you can have a workflow that essentially provides an extra step that someone has to go through to protect against someone being able to automate an attack. So extra piece that comes in there. And then how many folks here have heard of Azure Security Center? So Azure Security Center, in many ways, is the security person's dream leveraging the cloud. Because when you deal with an on-premise network, when you're talking anywhere between 100 and 1,000 or 10,000 or more servers, hygiene problems become a problem. So configuration things. Did I really put this web application firewall in front of a web server? Did I configure the firewalls right? Is everything patched? Is the configuration correct against the baseline that we want? Well, when you're talking about an on-premise data center, it's a bunch of physical servers plugged into a bunch of racks. And so you can lose things, you can forget things, you can have things that don't go through configuration management. When you put something in the cloud, you know, jokingly, you're getting billed for it. It's tracked, it's watched, it's known. Every single VM that you have in the cloud is well understood by the system because it's there, it's being tracked, it's being run all the time. And so that configuration is very apparent and transparent to Azure. And so as part of Azure itself, just in the base, the Azure Security Center allows you to look for those configuration hygiene issues. Do we have baselines that are wrong? Do we forget to put anti-malware on something? Is there something missing, something out of date? Is there a patch that isn't applied? It can do all that and give you alerts. And basically simply say, hey, you need to fix this, this is how to do it. And in many cases, it's just a couple of clicks away, automatically resolves. Even adding a web application firewall that's not in front of a web server boom, couple clicks, you can pull one out of the marketplace and life is good. So very, very powerful feature, definitely worth checking out as you bring your stuff to Azure. The hygiene stuff is free, and then there's a bit of an upcharge, I think, for the threat detection pieces that go on top of it as well. So I've mentioned admin workstations a couple of times. How many folks here are actually using an admin workstation? Awesome, a couple of folks. Love to see the progress. It's actually a very rare thing, and we want to see it become a normal practice because this is the thing that will stand up to cyber attacks over the long term. So two different sets of things that we look for here, which is how do we block the primary entry points? We block internet browsing and email. That is not allowed on the operating system. USB attacks are also blocked. And then attacks from the enterprise environment itself. We protect these workstations from the rest of the environment so that an attacker that has made their way into the environment cannot get onto these. And then, of course, we're security folks, we're paranoid, so we apply some things like software exploit protection, anti-malware, just make sure that they can't disable the controls, and turn the protections off, et cetera. So this is a key defense there, all publicly documented. Couple of the sessions here that you may want to check out. The one I was referencing about the Office 365 is that 3083, the BRK 3083. I'll be speaking with Mike Miller, going over the scripts and showing you all that stuff in detail. And then all the documentation and guidance that I referenced here are linked there. Got the a poster that gives you that full strategy that I promised you with all the different things if you want to look at the big picture. So that's the big expanded one. And there's a familiar face that we recorded based on that poster, a 4-hour course to help you guys understand and talk about it in depth and give you some of that thought and discussion to make sure that you have that next click deeper on that content so you can really understand strategically how to think about going to the cloud. And then Office 365 itself did publish a guide to how to use the capabilities in it in 5 specific scenarios to simplify and protect access, collaboration, stopping external threats, staying compliant, and of course securing admin access, which is really where I was focusing on here, as well as on the Thursday talk. And that's it. So, questions? Yes, the deck should be in the download system. So you should be able to get to it on the site and wherever you can download it. I haven't actually done that yet. If not, you're welcome to email me. My email is just mas@Microsoft. Mas, M-A-S. Excellent question. The question was, can an admin workstation be a virtual machine or does it have to be physical? The answer is that the root of trust has to start at the physical level. So generally, there's two scenarios that we find popular. One is I have two physical workstations. This is great for domain admins, enterprise admins, very, very high impact roles where you want to change someone's behavior. We found that if someone has a dedicated console they can only do one thing on, they behave very differently, and we like that. Now, that may not be practical for everyone, so hey, I'd like to have both of these on the same piece of hardware for certain roles. And so what we do in that situation is we have an admin workstation and then a virtual machine with the user apps on it. If you reverse it, someone takes over through a phishing attack or whatever, they can then take over the admin VM, so it defeats the purpose. So we have to have the admin as the host and the root of trust, and then the user apps can live on a VM or RDP or MetaFrame or whatever you want to do on top of it. Make sense? Cool. Excellent question. So the question was, if you enable MFA on your admin account, will that stop you from using PowerShell? The answer is yes, unless you're running a preview, which is just coming online now, and Mike and I will talk a little bit more about the schedule. I just don't know what the release schedule is and the status offhand, but that is something that they're addressing, and there are several of the workloads that are already lighting it up right now. Good question. All right, I'll be hanging around for a few minutes, and I thank you guys very much for your time.